Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
It's football at four with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Just to clarify, the Broncos lost four games by 17 or more points last year.
And they won two.
Okay. But we're just talking about getting blown out, not blowing somebody out. So, four games.
So it was
not quite as bad,
I guess. Week seven against the Chargers at the Chargers. It was week nine.
Well, what was the score? If you're going to do that, give it to me.
Let me turn the 21 game down. To nothing.
Oh, you got the score right there?
Okay. Yep.
21-0.
21-0.
Lost to the Chargers. Humiliating. A shutout.
So we've got week nine at Philadelphia. That was 51-23.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
We have week 10 at home against the Patriots, 41-16.
Yeah, that was awful.
We have week 13 at Miami, 35-9.
Yeah, that was the onside kick game. When the Dolphins were up by a million, they onside kicked it.
And the two wins,
because Adam Gase apparently hates John Elway.
You got those two, right?
The two wins were week 2 against Dallas, hosting Dallas, and week 14 hosting the Jets.
What was the score of that Jets game that we won?
Jets was 25-13. Or 23-0, excuse me. 23-0.
What was the score of the final game of the season?
27-24 Chiefs victory.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. What a miserable season. So four times, you know. By the way, one of the stats I'll never forget is that in the year the Broncos won the Super Bowl, 2015, how about this? They won 11 games by 7 or less points. Now, that's a clutch team right there, Chad.
Yeah.
That's a team that's going to get it done.
That's a team that believes in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's a team that has the discipline to stay in the right mindset. Well, that was a team that did that. That team's gone now.
You want to see one of the most sad, pathetic moments ever in Broncos history? Go watch the Chiefs' first touchdown of the game against the Broncos in the last game of the year and watch Aqib Talib.
Man, that was bad. That was bad. And he was one of those three mindsets that I was talking about.
Watch Aqib Talib. Watch his effort on that particular play. And really watch it and tell me, do you really want this guy still on your team? I think he had obviously checked out. He was at odds, I know for a fact, with Vance Joseph. And he's a captain. Go watch a highlight of that touchdown run and Aqib Talib's effort.
Awful. 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 So that's that mindset of, you know, I'm going to be out here, but I'm not really going to do anything. I'm going to make sure I don't get hurt. He went immediately. The game hadn't even gotten rolling, and he was already in that mindset.
Awful. As soon as I saw it, I was like, well, he's gone.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there wasn't a lot of debate about it, but that was a moment of, and that wasn't a blowout. That was 0-0.
Right, but he already checked it in.
They took him out of the game right after that, by the way. He didn't play the rest of the game.
Right, but
that goes to pride, heart. And if you're a team that gets blown out left and right, as the Broncos were last year, at least four times by more than 17 points, felt like more. Chad, what is going on with the culture of a team where that's happening?
Blowouts, they pull and fray at the culture because you're going to develop these three different mindsets within your locker room. Guys who are like, you know what? We ain't going to win. At least I can get mine. Guys who go the Aqib Talib route. Well, I'm not even going to play hard because I don't want to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guys, you know, I would think more like, let's call it a Derek Wolfe kind of mentality, who's trying to keep it all together and trying to find ways to play harder and better in the midst of all the chaos around him.
How do you change it? If that was the culture last year, how do you change it?
You've got to get rid of those guys. You can't put the Aqib Talibs in positions of captaincy because that's what that leads to.
So he's got to go.
And when you know, the fans here obviously have a great affinity for Aqib.
Mm-hmm.
He's made some great plays here. But the true mark of a person is when adversity is in front of you.
Right.
It's easy to be a great guy and a great leader when everything's going well.
Easy.
But when it's difficult, when you have to pull out your discipline, when you have to do something counter to your nature, find a way to keep playing hard despite overwhelming chances we have no shot to win, that's when you really reveal who's a true player, who's a true captain,
so
who has
a true passion
for the game.
What did you learn about Aqib Talib in that moment?
Yeah, it made me feel like he's so much a front runner. It's going good, then I'm in. It's not going good, can't count on me.
Right.
Can't count on me.
Certainly not a captain.
No. And I need you to be accountable all the time.
And if he was a captain, and that's how that was his final moment as a Bronco, what in the world was going on, the whole year with him?
Right.
And what was he saying to his teammates? What was his attitude out there? I know it was disrespectful to Vance Joseph.
Well, then already at that point right there, you've already got an issue in the locker room. Here's a captain with a disrespectful relationship with the head coach. A influential guy on the team. He's naturally going to pull guys towards him,
right,
who are going to adopt that same attitude and mindset.
Yeah, and it got bad for the Broncos because they were such good pals with TJ Ward. But the Broncos made the right football decision with TJ Ward. He just wasn't the same player. He was hurt. He's just really popular. They really liked him as a person. But football-wise, Chad, the Broncos did make the right decision. Look at what happened with TJ Ward.
Absolutely, it was the right decision.
Yeah.
There was no question about it. And the fact that you don't have enough grown-ups in your locker room to handle that room.
Right.
That's an issue.
Right. Not enough grown-ups. Bunch of little babies in there.
This is how this thing works.
Right. Is that why DeMarcus Ware's back? More so than as really a coach? Is his presence more valuable than his coaching, abilities?
I think so, because he's also closely enough tied to that locker room where if he was to walk into the locker room, he's not going to be viewed as... Sometimes when coaches walk into the locker room, they're viewed as like narcs. And, the locker room clams up and, guys stop talking. I think DeMarcus is able to kind of toe the line between those two rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he's going to be a narc for Vance, but he has the ability to almost be a double agent and keep conversations and keep things thought of in the right way.
Yeah.
Yes, guys, Vance wants us to put on pads this Wednesday.
Yeah.
But let me tell you why. He can kind of soften or introduce those concepts, which may not go over so well in the locker room without that type of guy in there.
That's a bigger role than just whatever he has to add. I mean, he could add a certain amount of elements to the field, right? But the presence of DeMarcus Ware was so significant in 2015, as was Peyton Manning. Gary Kubiak is a presence as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Well-respected
right.
presence.
And we've seen now in minicamp and OTAs, he's on the field. He's not watching from an ivory tower.
No.
He's on the field where the players can certainly see him, and he's a grown-up. It was a mistaken management just to put the Broncos together the way they did. And, we shouldn't have too high hopes of first-year coaches, right, Chad? But it was a first-year head coach, first-year special teams head coach, first-year defensive coordinator. Your captains were Aqib Talib, a dude who got high and drunk and shot himself, and somehow he's made a captain. And you have quarterbacks that couldn't lead popcorn out of a paper bag.
It was kind of
doomed to failure when you really look back on it, right?
If I'm a first time head coach, I'm going to bring in some old wise guy. I'm going to bring in Wade Phillips.
Yeah. No, we fired Wade. Well, we didn't fire him, but we didn't. That was, by the way, you're hitting on it. What a no-brainer. When Gary Kubiak stepped down.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, retain Wade Phillips. The one guy everybody on the defense looks up to. The one guy, if you've got to overpay for anybody, overpay and keep Wade Phillips.
As a first-time coach, you don't even know what you don't know. So to have someone who's been through the wars, for dozens and dozens of years just makes sense. So when my buddy Mike Vrabel gets the head job in Tennessee, who's he bringing? Dean Pease, 68 years old, defensive coordinator.
When we come back, I heard Zach talking about the role of Gary Kubiak. There's some no duh moments happening. So I'm going to give you some no duh moments about the future next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
So Chad Brown here on his 48th birthday, which we really appreciate, and for Alfred today. Happy birthday, Chad. He dunked, as he does on his birthday every year. You can see it at Chad Brown. What's your Twitter? At Chad Brown?
At Chad Brown 94.
At Chad Brown 94.
But yeah. See, look, we were just talking about people laying on the line.
Yeah.
I'm here on my birthday.
I appreciate it.
You know what I'm saying?
Appreciate it.
You do what you say you're going to do.
Are you missing a party or something?
I'm cutting out a little early. But I can go.
Well, see you later. Go to a party. Yeah. You know, streamers and hats and
popcorn.
Did you get invited, D-Mac?
No, but I can't play that card because I did get invited a couple years ago and I didn't show up.
And boom goes the dynamite.
And so
that
I'm not.
That ended D-Mac's appearances on the guest list forever.
So that's a touchy subject. Sorry. Should have gone.
And even went as far as telling me, oh, yeah, I'll be there.
I know. I tell that to everybody and then I just don't show up. Or I try to desperately think of ways to back out of things. I got something I committed to that I'm desperately trying to figure out how to get out of, but I just shouldn't have said yes to it in the first place, but I do have this knee issue that might help me.
My meniscus.
My meniscus. Had that MRI today.
How'd that go?
Good. You know,
are
I'm
you
not,
claustrophobic? Do you mind
well,
being in the tube?
Well, even if I was, it's a knee, so I'm not even fully in the tube.
Yeah.
They gave me, like, headphones to listen to.
Yeah, what'd you go with?
Well, I was like, they go, what kind of music do you want to listen to? I was totally surprised. I did not know I would have a music option. I froze. I did not know what to say. I don't know what music to listen to while, you know, you're getting an MRI.
I always go with classical because it helps me sleep.
Yeah.
And
I've
literally had dozens and dozens of MRIs in my day. So
yeah.
I'm quite used to, yeah, give me the earplugs. I go with the headphones.
Yeah.
Give me the classical music.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm good at that.
They're asking, did I have any metal taken out of my eyes?
Yeah.
I'm like,
Well, because, you know,
but then they let me wear my wedding ring. I probably shouldn't have worn this, right?
No, they're looking for metals that are metallic. I mean, that are magnetic. Because the MRI, part of that is the magnetic resonance.
Right. Okay.
And it could move that metal in your eye and cause some issues because it's a magnet.
Well, so who cares about the ring then?
It's, I don't think gold's a...
But I have to take my belt off.
Because it's a magnetic metal.
You are so smart. Anywho. No duh moments. I'm listening to Zach earlier today, who's on with the Schwabster. I don't know if he goes by the Schwabster, but you know, I'm giving him that nickname. Congratulations, Schwabby.
Is it Schwabby or Schwabster?
Well, you know, depends. It's both. So they're talking about Gary Kubiak's, like, would Gary Kubiak take over as coach? Gary Kubiak. And they were like, oh, I don't know. You know, he's just back to this, that, the other thing. I don't think so. And he wouldn't do that to Vance Joseph and blah, 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 blah. And to that I say, Gary Kubiak dyes his hair. What? That's up there with sweater vest, D-Mac. Yep.
Is it? Or is it just a guy who's trying to present an image to his team?
Let me tell you
I'm
something.
I'm young. I'm full of vigor.
A dude in his mid to late 50s who dyes his hair. Because most dudes in their 50s are good with their hair going gray.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's fine. Everybody's hair goes gray. I was looking at my boy Mark Mosier the other day. I think his hair went gray at like, you know, 12. You know, it's okay. We're all fine with it. But when you're still dyeing your hair as a dude in your 50s, you want to be in the game. You're in the mix. There's enough vanity going on with you that you care about certain things on how you present yourself. And when you really care about how you present yourself, unlike me, who's clearly given up, when you care about those type
same
of things.
Same shirt 3 days in a row.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. When you really care about those things, your ego is high.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Is
oh,
it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's not to present a younger image?
Mm-mm. You're...
Be more like your players?
No. It's your ego's up there.
Okay.
And when your ego's up there, let me tell you something. When your ego's up there, you always think you're as good as you've always been.
True.
I don't care what your health issues are. And I don't care where you're at. Now, Gary Kubiak did not want to fire a bunch of his assistant coaches. That and his health issues more or less led to the departure of Gary Kubiak as head coach. Gary Kubiak wanted a blowout in his final game. That's why he didn't play Paxton Lynch. He didn't want to just win his final game. He wanted to blow people out, Raiders specifically, who were going to the playoffs without Derek Carr. And despite promising that Paxton Lynch would share the game with Trevor Siemian, which even that was ridiculous. It should have just been Paxton Lynch start to finish, but he wanted to win the game. And John Elway went down at halftime to check whether Paxton Lynch was going to go in the game, and Kubiak says, no, we're going to just stick with Siemian, which made no sense whatsoever because the score at the time was 17-0, and within the first 5 minutes of the third quarter, Chad, it was 24-0.
Mm-hmm.
I think the game was safe.
Right.
Not that winning the game helped the Broncos. In fact, just the opposite. What were we on, the road to Bowles? Garrett Bowles, you know, we had to have that win. But Gary Kubiak did not want to fire a bunch of his assistant coaches, which was going to happen because Elway was, you know, rightfully fed up, and it was going to happen. There was a little bit of a revolt there. And sure enough, and the classic answer, Les Shapiro asked John Elway a brilliant question at the postseason press conference that year. He goes, you know, does any of your assistants have a shot at being head coach? And Elway didn't even think about it for a second. And his answer was no.
Wow.
So the no duh moment, everybody, is if things go south this season, despite his previous history with hiring Vance Joseph and being a supporter of Vance Joseph, I have zero doubts, Chad Brown, that Gary Kubiak absolutely would step in to take over as head coach of this team if things really go that poorly. I have no doubts about it. It's one of the most no-duh moments that I can think of. I'm not saying Kubiak is angling for it, but his willingness to do it, I think, would be... He wouldn't even hesitate.
Oh, I would think from a John Elway perspective, to have Gary Kubiak in the building allows you to think about the mid-season, early-season firing of your head coach.
Yes.
In a completely different way than it does for most GMs around the league.
John's probably fine with Vance as long as things are going well. I mean, they've made a million other changes. They have two offensive line coaches. You have DeMarcus Ware as a consultant. You have a much more experienced quarterbacks coach, much more experienced special teams coach, much more experienced two offensive line coaches. You have a lot more experience, period. You know, Tom Heckert's gone now. He had some health issues, which was sad. Gary Kubiak's your most senior advisor. Matt Russell is not going unchecked anymore. I mean, you have a lot of safeguards going on that did not exist last year. So why would you keep VJ if things went south when you had Gary Kubiak there? I have no doubts that's the backup plan if that were to happen. No doubts at all. The only question I would have after that, if it were to happen, is how long does Kubiak want to keep coaching?
You would see him as a permanent coach?
No.
And not as a fill-in?
I would see him as initially as a fill-in, and let's see how things go.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no doubts your best coach after Vance Joseph for John Elway is easily Gary Kubiak. No, it's not even a question. When I saw him during the mini camps and OTAs, Chad, like on the field, I mean on the field.
Yeah, if you think Gary Kubiak can't step into the head coaching role literally within 4 hours' notice, you're mistaken.
No doubt about it. What do you think, Bill Musgrave's going to be named the head coach? He seems like a nice enough dude. He's got the personality of a wet peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I mean, he's not going to be taken over.
Sounds disgusting.
I like Bill Musgrave and all, but he's not.
That's not a good analogy you gave to him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the
who else would take over?
It doesn't make any sense.
Joe Woods? Joe Woods doesn't even know what he's doing.
All the coaches are going to have their heads down being the position coach or coordinator that they are. Gary Kubiak is in the building, has run this team in that building.
Won a Super Bowl.
Right.
And you think they're worried about his health? Listen, his wife has probably come to terms a long time ago. This dude's life is all about football. Okay? And without football, it's too stressful and this. Yeah, okay, but without football, he's got nothing. A lot of people are like that. That's why he dyes his hair, man. He wants to stay in the game. I like guys that dye their hair and stay in the game, Chad. Certain amount of confidence, arrogance, cockiness, leadership. I'm not done. I'm dyeing my hair.
Want to stay young.
I want to stay young.
Stay relevant.
I haven't given up.
I'm not
wearing the same shirt 3 days in a row.
Yeah, it makes complete sense. Wow. Okay. I hadn't even thought about it from that perspective. And it is rare that I go all DMAC conspiratorial.
Well, just keep that thought. We got to take a break. We can discuss it more. You can chime in 303-713-1043. It's The Drive on The Fan.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and DMAC.
3-2 with two outs in the ninth. Jay digs in against Davis. Here's the pitch, and he struck him out swinging. Rockies run it. Final score 5-1. Back in a moment.
Oh, well, what happened, Arizona broadcast? Wait, I thought the Diamondbacks were up 3-0. Were they winning 3-0 at some point in this game, according to him?
Here's a pitch to AJ. Swinging a drive to left field. Diamondbacks lead it 3-0.
Do they?
Caught out there by Cuevas.
My bad.
Died at the wall, and Cuevas made the catch. Pollock takes off his helmet. He was like me. He thought it was gone.
Yeah, he's a dummy, just like you. Well, he's not really as dumb as you. He hit the ball. You just didn't know what you were looking at. Yeah, because you lost, we win 5-1. That's a huge, huge, huge win by the Rockies.
Final score 5-1. Back in a moment.
Good job, Rockies. Huge win. That's how you do it. You win home series against your division opponents. Now the Diamondbacks and Dodgers are the Rockies are 2.5 games out, ladies and gentlemen. So are the Giants. Very close division right here. So four teams within 2.5 games. Rockies are 2.5 games out, which it's pretty close to guaranteeing that they won't be any worse than 5 games behind going into the All-Star break. With a 3-game weekend set with the Mariners coming up, which should be pretty fun. Mariners, really good team that the Rockies also won a series from. The Mariners are 58-35. Rockies are now 48-45. Mariners are a good team. Sets up for an awesome set. Kyle Freeland did not get the win today. Oberg got the win. I'm not exactly sure why. I guess it depends on what the score was.
Because Kyle went 5 1/3. The Rockies scored 3 in the bottom of the 6th. They were down 1-0 until that point.
So he doesn't get credit for that half an inning. So it's a complete game. He would have got credit for the win.
Had he pitched a complete another inning.
Yeah, if he got 2 more outs.
No, had he completed another inning.
No, if he got him out in the top of the 6th and they scored 3 in the bottom, he would have got credit.
You're right. Right.
Way to go, Rockies. We've put in requests to talk to the hero of the game. Who was the hero of the game? Trevor Story had another home run. Trevor Story is friggin' on fire. Good job by the bullpen, as opposed to, you know what the key was, apparently, with the bullpen today?
Tell me.
Well, they didn't pitch Jake McGee.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's how that works.
I mean, you know. I mean, I can make these brilliant observations all day if you want me to. I mean, I just...
Does this go in the
I look at who 60 played.
Or the 42 column?
No, this is definitely in the 42 column. This game was, first of all, they were trailing, and so they had to fight back. They scored runs late in the game. This is they used their closer, Wade Davis. This is absolutely a win in the 42.
Okay.
Really good win.
All right.
Yesterday was a win in the 60. Just it was a blowout. That's that. Really, really good weekend by the Rockies. The only bummer was they gave up a lead a couple nights ago because Jake McGee decided to throw batting practice rather than really be a pitcher.
Do I get to circle back to my conspiracy theory, my DMAC conspiracy theory?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. What was Gary Kubiak's role last year?
Scout.
And was he...
Sort of guy that John probably talked to on the phone every now and then.
Was he at the facility every day?
Oh, God, no. He lived in Houston.
All right.
But he did not sell his apartment... oh, I won't say exactly where he lives, but he keeps an apartment, not a house, but a nice apartment close by to Dove Valley. Did not sell it, did not lease it, didn't become an Airbnb, just kept it. Now, he's got two sons that work for the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those sons just had a grandbaby. So it makes sense that, hey, when I want to come visit you and I've got all sorts of ties to Denver, I'd rather not, you know, get a hotel room. It's, you know, I can own my ranch in Houston and also my, you know, apartment. And by the way, it's an apartment.
Okay. Why is that significant?
Because there's less care of things. You can focus on what you need to when you don't have a yard. You don't have maintenance things. It's just a really nice place to live.
Okay. The line I'm going down here is Gary Kubiak plays a role. He gets this promotion. His role now requires him to be there every single day.
Yeah.
Gary Kubiak, being the former head coach, Super Bowl winning head coach of Denver Broncos, is now in the building every day.
Yeah, well, we didn't know that at first, but that's the way it's turned out, yes.
And you had to sleep on whether you're going to bring the current
there
coach
you go, pal.
Back.
Now you're thinking.
So are you seeing what I'm seeing here? Not that Gary didn't earn this personnel promotion, but if you're John Elway and you're hedging your bets and you've got some uncertainty, which you clearly did about this
guy,
why don't I bring this other guy in into the building every single day in a role where he can be ready to take over really in hours' notice?
Vance Joseph is being babysat so much. I'm not exactly sure what VJ is really doing. I mean, I have never seen a head coach with as much protection around him right now as Vance Joseph has. Think about it. He doesn't make any personnel decisions. The coaching decisions, were they really all his?
Now, is that protection?
Oh, yeah.
You sure that's protection?
Yes.
Or is that lack of trust?
Both. Sure.
Because protection would say, I'm doing this because I'm trying to bolster you and help you out a bit here, as opposed to, I don't trust you to make this move, therefore I'm going to do this.
Okay, however you want to put it.
Okay.
But John's clearly saying, first of all, he had to sleep on it, and then after he woke up and he kept VJ, he was like, we're going to circle the wagons around this guy. I'm not trusting him. So VJ is as much of a, figurehead coach as I've ever seen in the NFL. He doesn't call plays. He doesn't come up with the offensive game plan. He's not coming up with a defensive game plan. He's not calling the defensive plays. He has coaches out the yin-yang with a lot more experience than he does in managerial roles. And you've got Gary Kubiak, who just won a Super Bowl a couple years ago, as your personal sort of babysitter. This dude is circled. I mean, he is the head coach. I'll give you that. And he certainly gets the pay. But dude's a figurehead. So if they start dropping games, he'll be gone so fast. I wish I could really think of a fun words here to put. Something fast will be happening.
Before you can blink an eye.
Before you can blink an eye. Before you can swat a fly with a fly swatter.
That's not a saying.
Before you can go 90 miles an hour on 470 in a rented Ferrari. See, I just lost
yeah, stop.
It. Just really should stop.
But I had
the bigger point is VJ. Listen, man, and he's agreed to all of it. He's signed off on all of it.
I hadn't thought about the Kubiak thing in those terms until right now, and that makes complete sense because if I'm up top and I'm looking at life through John Elway's glasses, which means I had to sleep on whether to bring this guy back, then I've got to hedge my bets.
Oh, the bets have been hedged. Like a hedgehog, they've been hedged. Like over the hedge. It's happening a little bit better for me here.
Yeah, over the hedge, that's actually a funny movie.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're into that kind of
thing. I was more into Over the Hedge 2.
Here.
Mm.
Here.
Yeah.
Here. Here, here, here.
There's no doubt, Chad.
Here.
Now you're going deep
and
on
here.
Me.
Okay. Over the Hedge, classic.
Yeah, it's going to be Kubiak if things go south. He's going to step back in. Don't be surprised at all.
I wish the best for Vance. I hope none of this comes to pass.
None of it has to happen. If Vance wins games, if they do what they're supposed to do, it'll not only will it be Vance this year, it'll be VJ for years to come,
right.
As long as this proceeds. It's not like they want to fire VJ. It's just they're ready to if they need to. They've got a plan B.
They've positioned themselves very well to move forward if they need to.
Yeah, a good plan B as well.
Yeah.
Hey, tonight at 6, our Rocky's 25th anniversary special at Jackson's Lodo is going down. Kyle Freeland, who did not get the win today, it's a technicality, but he pitched great. He's been an incredible player all year for the Rockies. Rockies get a huge win today, so everybody will be in a good mood. Zach and Sandy will be there at Jackson's for a special live broadcast. Rockies' 25th anniversary trivia contest after the broadcast with chance to win great prizes will keep you there in fine spirits thanks to Coors Light and the Play Ball exhibit at the Colorado History Center.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
A Monday warrior, mean, mean strike. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride.
I got a few minutes with Chad, and then plenty of time with you, listener. Chad's going to scoot out because he's 48 years old today, and he's going to go...
my special day.
Put on a birthday hat and jump around in the jumpy balls. No, of course, spend
Mom
time with
got
his family.
Me. Unlimited tokens at Chuck E. Cheese.
Congratulations. I want you to think a little bit about the coaches in the AFC West.
Yep.
In terms of the difference that the role that Vance Joseph has compared to everybody else. Now, what's interesting is Anthony Lynn. Are you friendly with Anthony or not?
Yeah.
I don't know how you may have or may not have crossed paths with
played
him over there.
Against Anthony when he was a Bronco.
Played against him. He played against a lot of guys, though. Did you know him at all? Or
yeah.
Okay.
I bull rushed him back into, who was the quarterback? Can't remember who, but go ahead.
Yeah. Elway? I mean, who else would it be?
Okay.
Broncos?
I mean, there's been other quarterbacks over the years, and I've, sacked a lot of them.
Of course. Of course you have. Anthony Lynn, what kind of role is he having in I almost said it, didn't L.A.?
I don't. That's a good question. I'm not quite sure how that's breaking down out there between
their GM and everybody else there.
Yeah.
All right. John Gruden in Oakland, soon to be Vegas. What kind of role do you think he has?
He has the power that a $100 million contract gives you, where he is already making changes in the personnel department.
Think there's any doubts about like who's in charge there?
Yeah, Reggie McKenzie has moved the Raiders from terrible salary cap situation, gotten them healthy, improved the roster, and now John Gruden is able to step in, start making power moves. So I think it's pretty clear who has the power there.
It's a weird dude when you're Reggie McKenzie that you're essentially hiring a guy to take your job.
Yeah.
I mean, John Gruden is going to be able to dictate everything in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
And Reggie McKenzie put him in that position. And Reggie McKenzie's getting a little bit older, and perhaps that was the whole plan, and he'll whatever. But there's no doubt John Gruden will dictate everything that happens in Oakland.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Andy Reid in Kansas City.
Andy Reid is, he's running that show.
He's running that show.
One of the most respected coaches in the league. If you have a top 10
coaches list, he's running the show.
He's always in the top 10.
What's Vance doing?
Now, none of those other guys have a GM / top football person who has the status of John Elway. It's going to be tough for any coach to eclipse John Elway here in Denver. It's going to be virtually impossible. Even to have a shot at having an equal standing is also going to be incredibly difficult. John Elway is still the face of the Denver Broncos. He even does commercials on the field with Bronco stuff in the background.
That's true, right?
You know what I'm saying? It's like, this has nothing to do with the Broncos, but you're such a face of the Broncos. That's what you are allowed to do.
John doesn't want to be bothered with the day-to-day sort of ins and out coaching stuff. That's not John's style.
No. But he wants to make all the decisions to,
right.
to allow that
So I see what
guy.
You're saying. Like, no coach under Elway would ever have the autonomy of what Gruden or Andy Reid would have ever because he's John Elway.
Right.
Yeah.
He's not going to he's not naturally going to defer to
In fact, you
guy.
Can make the argument when guys try to have that, that's why he's the coach killer. Foxy, got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Kubiak, I got to fire these guys. I don't want you to fire these guys. Well, I guess, I'm John Elway. You may be able to make the argument that Kyle Shanahan was going to be too much of a, prickly pear for John Elway to deal with.
I think the Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch marriage is going to be beautiful.
Well, what are the character differentials between John Elway and John Lynch?
I mean, they both had star careers. They're both Stanford guys. I think they're both smart guys. They both had success away from the game as well as, Hall of Fame level success on the field. I just think that John Lynch moved into that job at a perfect place to marry himself to a coach who he knew and trusted.
Right.
Whereas John Elway has established himself in football that it'd be very difficult for a head coach to come in and have an equal standing or even a close
just
equal standing.
Two incredibly different personalities, even though I'm sure they're friends and have a good relationship. They're just different dudes. First of all, Elway's a lot older than John Lynch. Should just start there.
Right.
And the dynamic between John Elway and Kyle Shanahan obviously would be quirky. I mean, as Elway's known Kyle since he was a little kid, and the influence of Mike Shanahan may be not wanted, but hindsight being 2020, I mean, come on. Kyle Shanahan would have made a lot more sense. And maybe, listen, maybe they'll babysit Vijay enough, Chad, that he'll learn what he needs, whatever it is he needs to learn that he didn't know already. But it doesn't change the fact he's not coming up with any offensive or defensive game plans. I mean, I don't know, man. I really don't know what he does. I know that sounds insane, but I guess he talks to the media.
Now
that's the job, I suppose.
Now, Bill Cowher didn't draw up any game plans. So whether it was, Todd Haley drawing up the offense and Dick LeBeau drawing up the defense, Bill Cowher didn't draw up game plans.
So what did Bill Cowher do?
He coached the coaches. He oversaw the game plans. He steered the direction of those things.
Did he? Or did he just look like he had a chiseled chin and look good on TV?
No.
Did people make fun of him behind the scenes that he wasn't really doing anything?
No. Bill Cowher was certainly involved in the game planning aspects. He was certainly involved in discussing with the personnel department, the general manager. He was involved in all of that.
All right, Chad, I want to wish you a happy birthday.
Thanks, man.
We're about to get a Rockies player on any second.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to it. But first, should I go right now? Do we have to hear from Mark? I'd rather talk to Kyle Freeland. All right. Let's talk to Kyle Freeland. Kyle Freeland will be down at Jackson's in Lodo. He was on the mound today. Kyle Freeland joins us now. Hey, Kyle, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Congrats. You don't get the win today, huh?
Didn't get the win, but the team got the win. That's the important part.
You're right. But it just, I don't know. This is all that weird baseball stuff, right?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
That's just the way it goes. Well, way to go, Kyle. Maybe talk about kind of the quirky mindset of such a crazy game last night and the quick turnaround that you guys really had to stay focused on. What was the key to that?
You know, that's a beautiful game of baseball right there. You can go out one night and score 19 runs, and the next day you don't score your first run until the sixth inning.
Right.
But it was a good team win. You know, we battled out there. Defense made incredible plays. Offense sparked life there in the sixth, and we were able to grind out good at bats, get some key hits, and take the lead off of a division rival.
Is there, you know, people always say, you know, baseball, that's a long season. Each game's kind of separate to itself. Was there some momentum from last night's game that played a role in today's game?
I believe so, yeah. I mean, whenever you put up numbers like that, it feels good. The vibe in the clubhouse is going to be extremely positive. So we definitely fed off that into today. Like I said, it took a little while for the offense to get going. I mean, they had a great pitcher on the mound with Robbie Ray. He's one of their staples in their rotation. So he's a tough guy to face, but we were able to come through and come out on top.
Dude, I thought you were going to walk Robbie Ray there for a second. I mean, what do you get him down 0-2? Why is it not just fastball down the middle?
It got close. He can swing it a little bit.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a bad swing. He knows a little bit what he's doing up there. With runners on, you got to be a little smart. But yeah, it went 0-2 to 3-2, and then it was just kind of, all right, mono, let's go. Like, here comes a fastball.
It is weird, Kyle. I'm not going to lie, man, that, you know, hey, first of all, awesome job. Guys on third, ropes a triple. What are you going to do? But, you know, you get a couple of strikeouts, and then classic National League, right? We're going to walk a guy to get to the pitcher. And that doesn't happen anywhere. Except for the National League. It doesn't happen in high school, doesn't happen in college, doesn't happen in the minors. It's only in the National League. Has that struck you as like, wow, this is weird? And it happened to you today, too, at the plate.
Yeah, I've had it happen to me as a hitter and as a pitcher over the past couple of years multiple times. It's kind of not a nice break, but, you know, something where you'd be like, okay, I can really attack this guy. And kind of feel like you have the upper hand, and also vice versa, when you're on deck and, you know, they walk the guy in front of you intentionally, you're up there thinking like, all right, I'm doing whatever I can to get a base knock right here. So it's different mentalities on both sides.
It's quirky. Do you think there should be a DH in the National League?
No, I do not believe so. I mean, I like how, you know, it separates the two leagues. I enjoy hitting, even though my numbers right now are pretty sad to look at. But I think we should keep pitchers hitting in the National League. I like the separation of the two leagues.
How many Freeland jerseys from your family were in the stands today? What was the count at today?
I had a handful of friends down the left field line. I think there was about seven of them.
Nice.
A lot of them had to work. Then I had my dad and my girlfriend up in the family section today.
Well, we love the Freelanders, no doubt about it. And you're going to be doing a special show tonight at 6 o'clock. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that'll be at Jackson's in Lodo. Starts here in about an hour. Yeah, an hour right on the dot. Be down there, you know, talk to some people, sign some stuff, doing a spot. So it'll be fun. So come on down.
Who in your family was the most upset that you weren't named an All-Star?
Probably my dad.
Yeah.
He knows how hard I've worked this year. And the solid numbers I've put up, but you know, he always, you know, keeps me mentally checked with, you know, keep doing your thing. It's an absolute honor to, you know, have your name thrown in the mix to be an All-Star. So he always keeps me in check.
Well, yeah, but your dad's right. You should have been an All-Star.
Absolutely.
But that's okay. All right, hey, Kyle, I know I don't want to keep you. Thanks for joining us. Great job today. Great job in the first half of the year. You guys are only a couple games out of first place. couldn't ask for more, and just keep it going after the break, and way to go, Kyle.
Will do. Thanks, guys.
Kyle Freeland. How great is that dude?
Awesome.
Him and all the Freelanders, you know, all the local people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my buddies had to work today. That's when you know you've really made it. It's not that you just pitched in the majors, but you're pitching for your hometown team so much that your friends, like, can't take the day off of work. You know, if you're playing one game, right, Chad? Like, everybody's going to take the day off. It's a big deal.
But I'm here all the time.
If you're here all the time and I'm like, Kyle, I just, you know, I'll catch you next time. Hey.
Yeah.
You've made it.
Good for him, man.
Happy birthday to you.
Thanks, man. Enjoy the rest of the show, buddy.
Mark Schlereth, what's on your mind?
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
The AFC, and I know this is cyclical, but this is like the NFC's JV team. You look at the East, like the East in the AFC. You got New England, Miami, Buffalo, New York Jets. Hey, in the East and in the NFC, you got the Eagles, the champions. Are the Giants going to have a bounce back season? The Cowboys should be good. The Redskins, Alex Smith. You look at the North, you got the Lions are a good team. Green Bay Packers get their quarterback. Minnesota went to the NFC championship game. They've got, you know, Kirk Cousins. I mean, the NFC South, Atlanta, they could win that division. The Panthers could win the division. The New Orleans Saints could win the division. Tampa's the only one that's questions. AFC West, physical, with the Rams. You talked about the Rams being your Super Bowl pick. Will the Seattle Seahawks have a bounce back? Your San Francisco 49ers got better with Jimmy Garoppolo last year. Arizona, there's some pretty doggone good teams in the NFC. I mean, the AFC is like the little brother.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.